Welcome to Keep the Ball Rolling, presented by Tommy Media. On today's show, we recap the St. Thomas women's basketball trip to Waverly, Iowa. We sit down with St. Thomas Athletic Director Steve Fritz, and we talk about March Madness and Kirk Cousins.
Welcome, everybody. Episode 3 of Keep the Ball Rolling. I'm Brady Hallmeyer, co-host Gamiel Hall. Gamiel, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Good. Lauren Andrego, producer. How are you doing, Lauren?
Hello. I'm just dandy.
We're getting into the swing of things here in Episode 3. We got great interview with Steve Fritz.
Great interview.
But let's talk some women's basketball first. Gamiel and I, we went to Waverly, Iowa. Middle of nowhere, kind of. No disrespect to Waverly. It's a pretty good town.
Great town. It is in the middle of nowhere, though. You know, in that little street, that there was just like these small shops. There was a nice hotel, which we stayed in. There was a quick, not a quick trip, but a quick star.
Yeah, it was a quick star. I don't know if that's like a quick trip affiliate, but it was a quick star. It looked exactly the same. And I remember we were driving up we're getting close to the town of Waverly, and Gamiel goes, we were driving through a cornfield, and he goes, there's no way there's a town. Are you sure we're going to the right place? And I like freaked out. I looked at my phone. I was like, yeah. Yeah, it should be up here, just right past this other cornfield. And sure, there it was.
Where we were there.
Cobblestone Hotel is pretty solid. We were only there for about less than 24 hours.
Under 24 hours.
Because we were there Friday night. The women, St. Thomas women's basketball team, lost to East Texas Baptist in overtime.
It was a great game.
61-58. It was a defensive battle. East Texas played a zone defense, and their coach, first-year coach, Rusty Rainbolt is his name.
Great name.
Like he should definitely be on the Weather Channel doing something with that Rainbolt. Like, are you kidding me? But no, he runs a basketball team that was a three-win team last year. They got to the Elite Eight. They lost last weekend on Saturday after beating St. Thomas. But he turned that whole team around. Rusty Rainbolt, a weatherman of some sort. They're running a 2-3 zone. They played really tough. They slowed down St. Thomas. Hannah Spaulding played really well, 28 points, but they couldn't get it done.
They just couldn't figure out how to, you know, work through that zone defense. That zone defense gave St. Thomas a lot of trouble. Spaulding had her way, like you said, but,
yeah,
you know.
We just couldn't get in a rhythm offensively. And defensively, we were solid. Like, they fought really, really hard. They're down 10 points in regulation, fought back, some huge threes down the stretch. And they got it to overtime, and I thought they were going to have a chance in overtime, but – East Texas just knocked down their free throws, and the game was over. And ended St. Thomas.
They're a good team, too. They went on to the next round to face Waverly, who was undefeated.
Yep, number two in the
country. Warburg, which was undefeated.
Number two in the country.
And I think they only lost by, like, four or something. Yep. So they were a good team.
Yep. You know? A big turnaround for East Texas and for Rainbolt squad.
Rusty Rainbolt.
But now let's get to our interview with Steve Fritz.
All right, we are joined in studio by St. Thomas Athletic Director Steve Fritz. Thanks for joining us.
Nice to be with you. Thank you.
Mr. Fritz, can we call you Coach? You were coach here for 31 years. We can call you Coach?
That works.
Awesome. Thank you, Coach. So you started here as a student, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you worked your way through as a student athlete and then as a coach, and now you're the athletic director. Could you take us through your journey starting as a student?
Well, I came here in 1967, which is probably a hard number for you guys to understand. Did come here as an undergraduate student and played basketball here for 4 years and stayed around, worked in admissions at first as an admissions counselor, traveled for 4 years, and I was an assistant basketball coach at that time, and then I became the assistant to the president for 2 years and then became the director of financial aid and took over the head basketball coach in 1980 and 81 and then became the assistant in financial aid, and then I eventually took over admissions as the director of admissions and did that for 5 years and then took over the athletic directorship in 1992 and spent 31 years as the head basketball coach and then the last 25 now also as the AD.
So you've seen it, I think my math is 51 years?
This is the end of 51 years.
This is the end of 51 years. You've seen the school come so far, but what has been the biggest change you've seen in terms of maybe facilities or enrollment, prestige? What has changed the most?
Well, it's kind of been the fun part is everything has changed. You know, when I was an undergraduate, we were all male. And mm-hmm. So that changed in 1977, 78 in that area. So that was a huge change, obviously. Along with that came increased enrollment and a big jump in facilities, a lot more residence halls on campus, When I was a senior, the OEC, where we're at today, was open. We've added to the library. You know, we've added everything on the south campus, and eventually then we added, obviously, the student center and the athletic facility. So, it's been a lot of new facilities over the years, plus the downtown campus. So it's been some changes.
What was it like playing? I think you played your last season, or you coached your last season at the new Anderson Athletic Center, where they named the court after you, Steve Fritz. What was it like having your last season there?
Well, it was really exciting. You know, obviously, the year before was kind of hard because we never played at home. Mm-hmm. We practiced at 6 in the morning over at McCarthy, and then played all of our home games over at Concordia of St. Paul. And thought going into that year that, practicing early and playing on the road, that we'd be pretty tough by the end of the year. And we had a great year. We were 19-1 in the league, but in the end, I think it wore us out and we didn't do quite as well. So it was fun to get into the new facility. Obviously, anytime you get into new facilities, it's terrific. And we played well through there, and obviously then winning the national championship put a good capstone
on it. Yeah, that's a pretty good way to head.
And in your 51 years, I'm guessing you've had some pretty, memorable moments, whether it be as a player, a coach, or athletic director. What is the most memorable moment you have throughout, 51 years?
Oh, I would say the national championship was probably you couldn't write a script any better than that. But mm-hmm. but there's really been great things all the way along. I played on some great teams here, so we had great fun in those days too. And I've enjoyed all my administrative jobs. I love working in admissions and financial aid and obviously the things in athletics. And, overseeing an athletic program that's been very successful in a lot of different areas has been a lot of fun. And working with a number of people you do on all levels, and then with all the coaches and things like that, those are all great highlights. But, we've had a lot of national championships in a lot of different sports, and it's been fun to be part of it in a sense of, being with those people.
And the Tommy Johnny at Target Field, is that up there in your most memorable moments?
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, that rivalry itself is really one of the better ones in Division III all the way around. And, I've seen it obviously as a player and as a coach, and then, oversee with football and things like that over the years. But it's that certainly is the capper of the games, is the one at Target. That's unbelievable.
Was there like a story behind that, getting the venue for that and working with the Twins and Target Field? What was your side of that?
Well, the Twins have always been looking for some opportunities besides baseball. They've done their concerts and things like that, and football was one of the things they wanted to do. They've already done, I think they did one of the pro soccer games there too. So they had been looking for it. The hard part is, when you work with with Division I, they can change their schedule around a little bit. We don't have that option. And so the St. John's game has been early in our schedule, which doesn't help with the Twins. That's a pretty busy time for them. And they just came. They had an 11-game road trip, and so they felt that they could get it ready and get it ready for when they came back from that road trip. And they came to us and asked us if we'd be interested in doing it, and worked out all the details. We checked with St. John's, had some things to work out with the league, and it just worked out. Couldn't have been better, early in the schedule where you're going to probably have a nice day, and obviously it ended up being a great day. And the Twins were great partners. They took care of all the security and ticketing mm-hmm. and all those kind of things, and it was kind of magic.
It was.
And going back before you came here as a student, why did you choose St. Thomas, and why have you chosen to stick with St. Thomas throughout your whole 51 years?
Well, I was going to probably be either St. John's, St. Mary's, or St. Thomas. I graduated from Rochester Lourdes, and we had won a state championship there, and looked at all of them. Thought I think St. Mary's maybe a little too close to home and small. St. John's might have been just a little too far away, and St. Thomas seemed to be a good spot. And then came out of here, obviously loved the place, and I got offered a job in admissions to travel through the southern part of the state and looking for future St. Thomas students, and got a chance to be the assistant coach and things like that. So it was just a nice opportunity, and I thought we'll give it a try for a while, and here you are 47 to 51 years later. So.
Mm-hmm. All right, I won't ask you to pick the best athlete, but who are some of the best athletes that have come through St. Thomas and that you've either coached or watched? What do you have for that?
Harris, there's a lot in a lot of different sports. You look at in basketball, gosh, you got a Tyler Nicolai, you got a Mark Burry, you got a John Tower, you got, there's just a lot of them that would be on your top 10 or top 20 kind of list and things like that. Football, there's been a lot of them there too. I've had a couple guys that went on and played with the Vikings, Jim Gustafson and
Gugamos too.
Gugamos,
right?
But they were teammates, you know. Yeah. And both of them with the Vikings, they were very good players, and we've had a lot of them since then too. Hockey players, you look like a kid like Stevie Aronson or Duke Besser, our coach right now. You know, Duke was on the Olympic team, and Stevie Aronson was the first. Free agent kind of guy that was signed by the Wild and things like that, though they're very, very special. And we've had a lot of nice baseball players over the year and things like that, too, that have gotten looks and things like that. So every sport, it really has had some standouts and things like that. So and that's kind of fun to be able to look back over those things. But it would be really hard to pick your top five team in any sport.
Yeah. You a March Madness guy, Coach?
Always, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, on a lot of levels. I got a great pal who's got his team in the Final Four of Division III this week. And,
oh, nice.
Obviously, I went through last night with my the newspaper and picked my the big tournament kind of things, but don't do anything with it. But
Who you taking?
Yeah, who you got?
Who did I take in the end? Let's see. It was pretty much the favorites kind of thing. I had Xavier in the Final Four. Mm-hmm. I had Michigan State in the Final Four.
Okay.
I'm a big Virginia fan. That's who I picked to win it. Okay. And I think I don't know who the fourth one was there, but maybe North Carolina.
Okay.
I've always liked them too.
All right. We got one last question for you. Lauren, our producer, she asks every guest this question. So our last question, here you go, Lauren.
Hi, Coach.
How are you, Lauren?
Good. How are you?
Good, very much.
Well, I've been having a lot of fun asking this question because I think depending on what time you grew up, maybe even where you grew up, there's a lot of different factors that play into this answer. I'm giving you a lot of lead up for a very simple question. Who's the greatest of all time in basketball, Michael Jordan or LeBron James?
Well, I go back so far that I'd pick somebody besides either one of those two.
Oh, option C.
All right.
I saw Wilt play, Chamberlain, who was so good, and Bill Russell. Those guys were awfully good, Jerry West, guys like that. So that's my era of growing up, and certainly Jordan and LeBron are both in that. And if I had to pick one of those two, I'd say Michael Jordan.
Mm. Okay,
chalk one more.
But there isn't very much difference between the two, and they're very different players too, and things like that. But those guys from Wilt averaged 50 points a game one year. Russell had 30 some rebounds, kind of things. And those guys were unbelievable, too.
Well, plus one for the Jordan category. Coach, thank you for coming on, and we really appreciate it.
Appreciate the time.
Thank you, Coach. All right, so Steve, Coach Fritz.
Coach.
Coach Fritz, excuse me, touched on it a little bit. You know, it is March Madness, best time of the year in my opinion. He said, I believe he said Virginia. He gave us a few of his – he gave us three of his final four.
Yeah, he took Virginia as his final team. I'm taking Villanova with the way they can score. I think Jay Wright is one of the best coaches in the country. They can score in so many different ways. They can shoot it from the outside. They can bring it inside, and they defend. Not as good as Virginia, but they defend really, really well and well enough to win a national championship. I think I have them beating Virginia in the final game.
Mm. You know, right now I have Virginia just like Coach Fritz does, but I'm a little, hesitant on that. I don't like taking the top seed usually, but I mean, this year is so tough. I feel like, there's 18 different teams you could pick from. Right now I have Virginia and Kansas in my final, but I might change that. I don't know.
Yeah. It truly is the greatest time of the year for me. Thursday morning, I can't even sleep Wednesday night. I get so excited for the round of 64. 16 basketball games each day. I think it's 16.
Here's a question for you.
Absolutely awesome.
Here's a question for you. What's better, Super Bowl Sunday or the first day of March Madness?
I got to go first day of March Madness because there's so much excitement, and you don't know which game to watch. You're trying to, flip. You try to get to somewhere where you can get as many TVs as possible, and I usually get, two or three TVs and then, a laptop or two. And it's like I don't want to miss anything, so I'm trying to watch everything. I fall behind on school. It's a tough time for school for me because I don't do a lot of schoolwork this week because I'm just, I can't miss the game.
I remember back in grade school, we used to – get detention on purpose so that we could go to one of our teachers' classrooms and watch March Madness during it. So we literally, you know, fool around on purpose so we get detention and we know, you know, March Madness will be on. So we did that.
And it's the season of trying to go find your cable password so you can log in on your phone and computer.
So true.
Every year I have to do that, but it's always this time of the year. And I feel like it gets changed every year. But so, hey, by now I hope on Thursday morning that I have my Xfinity password figured out so I can watch all the games. Lauren, who are you taking?
I shouldn't be last, but you guys have already gone. I don't know. I think I filled out brackets every year for like the last 10 years, but don't watch any basketball until the tournament comes. But I think I have Kansas in most of my brackets. I've entered a few like tournaments among friends and family, and I just want that $1 million from Warren Buffett. I always have like Michigan and Michigan State losing as early as I can because I despise both of those schools. But yeah, I think Kansas this year.
For me, that team is Duke. I always have Duke. I don't trust Duke.
Do you like UNC?
I like UNC. UNC is actually in my Final Four, so I like UNC. Mm. But I don't like Duke. I always have them bouncing in the second round.
I got them in the Final Four. We'll see what happens. I think Grayson Allen's matured enough where they can make a run, and I think they have the best raw talent in the country. If they can find a way to galvanize behind Grayson Allen, I could see them legitimately upsetting a Virginia or Villanova in the championship game, but I don't have that happening. Kirk Cousins. The news broke Tuesday morning. It's Tuesday morning right now, and Kirk Cousins is expected to come to Minnesota. I think it was a three-year.
Officially expected,
so he hasn't signed, but he's expected to. Ben Gessling, Vikings beat writer for Star Tribune, tweets, three-year, $84 million guaranteed contract, all guaranteed for Kirk Cousins. He is changing the game in free agency.
That's what they're saying, and Twitter is actually like freaking out about this right now because of this guaranteed money, just you know, changing you know the future of free agency, they're saying, with this guaranteed money. 3 years, how much was it, Brady?
$84 million.
$84 million. How do you feel about that as a Vikings fan?
I love it. You know, I absolutely love it. I don't know about the money. We'll see if he works out. I hope he does. Kirk Cousins, I love the heart. You like that? That just gets me going. And ever since that clip came out, I think it was maybe 2 or 3 years ago after a win to get to the playoffs or something, he comes into the locker room. If you haven't seen it, he walks in, he goes, You like that? He was like looking at the team owner or the general manager or somebody. Mm-hmm. I love the firepower from Kirk Cousins, and I cannot not wait for him to be a Viking.
Yeah, I'm just saying as a Pack fan, I'm not very worried about this at all. Kirk Cousins, you know, he's a solid quarterback, but I don't think he's top tier. I don't think he's Brady. I don't think he's Rodgers. I don't think he's Roethlisberger. I don't think he's Brees. I don't even think he's, you know, Matt Ryan. I think he's on the level of, you know, Matt Stafford, Joe Flacco. So, okay.
Well,
Vikings.
Hey, Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl.
He did win a Super Bowl, and he had a great defense. So
The thing is, the Vikings don't need an all-star. They need a game manager who's gonna make a couple throws like Case Keenum did. Case Keenum went off, but we don't need that every year. We can rely on our running backs. We can rely on our offensive line. We can rely on our defense, the best part of our team, and probably the best defense in the league. We just need a quarterback who's capable, who has some firepower. He has that.
Yeah, we'll see when Rodgers is healthy next year. We'll see if you're saying the same things.
All right, that's our show.
That is it.
Lauren, anything else?
I don't know. I've got sushi on my mind right now. I'm headed there in T-minus 45 minutes. So that's all my brain power is using for that right now. All right.
We do have to point out that we will not have a show for a while here, right, Brady?
Yep, we got next week is our last week. I think we have midterms, then we go on spring break. We come back. We're going to try to get some little couple-minute clips out to you guys either on Instagram or we'll figure out a way to get some content. But we will be back in a couple weeks, 3 weeks, I think.
3 weeks, yep.
All right, thanks, guys.